Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We are underwater in Jules Undersea Lodge here in Key Largo. Just having a ball. I got the dive god, Neil Watson. I have Lad Atkins from Reef. I have Captain Slate, the infamous Captain Slate, who feeds fish with his face. He's here with me underwater as we speak. What are the odds? You know, Fraser Nivens is here, and of course, Jan, who manages this property. You got to check it out. This is really one of the coolest things we've ever done in the 21-year history of Scuba Radio. I got to tell you, good stuff. Now, Diana's down here with us. Now, she decided she would be like a mermaid in training. She was watching Mariah. Said, "I can do that. I can do that." Is that the ultimate plan? Is that what you're hoping to do?
Well, I actually heard about this from my friend Sharon Kidlark. She used to work here 25 years ago. She was the poop collector for this habitat.
Wait, she was the poop collector.
My sweet friend.
Why would she do this? That's the first question.
She was Canadian, so she was trading out poop collection for her able to dive here in the Keys. She was so determined to dive here. But I've traveled for 5 years with Sharon and Jack all around the world. Last year we went to Fiji. The year before we were in Indonesia. We've been going everywhere. St. Lucia. But I love it here in the Keys. She has always loved to dive here. It's because of her I heard great stories about this undersea lodge.
Well, this is a self-contained underwater habitat. So poop collection is something that evidently they have to do on a regular basis.
Had to do it. And it was Sharon, little Sharon. We're talking a lady that's like 5'2", probably weighed 100 pounds. Only one time did it fall all over her.
Was a beautiful image. Yeah, okay, so I mean, it's like an underwater RV they got here. So you got to keep everything self-contained, sewage, whatever.
That was Sharon was selected.
Was that one on her business card,
no,
poop collector?
She kind of did, you know. She came down here, lived in a little trailer, taught the students here for years. Years and years. She gave a lot of dedication to the Keys. And she's just diving and having fun, you know.
And like you're following her fin kicks. And you figure, I want to come down here and find out what was involved.
To Tahiti in November. Sharon. It's probably one of her last trips to go far away. We're just going to stay in the Keys and dive.
Just so we're clear, when you say she was a poop collector, she still doesn't have, like, various samples from over the years?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. But it's, they're environmentally sensitive here.
Having fun in the Keys doing other things.
Yes.
Watching fish poop in the ocean.
Okay, well, whatever floats your boat.
I'm going to go see the parrotfish.
Parrotfish, they chew on the coral and stuff, and they got to grind it up into sand. That's what creates our beaches, right, Diane?
We need the poop.
We need the fish poo. That's right. That's right. That's one way to look at it, rather disturbing way, but whatever. Whatever works for you. But as far as working down here in the Keys, what do? You just bounce around a little bit?
I work on, in a restaurant. I work with some of the dive shops when they need a guide. You know, I just love the ocean, and anything to do with it, small critters, to the big. This last week alone, I saw four hammerheads. Four hammerheads.
Wow. On the same dive or no?
On the Benwood yesterday with Captain Slate, we saw a couple hammerheads while we were out there looking for hogfish, because it's hogfish season, And Captain Slate, that was a good time with him. He always puts you on the spot.
Absolutely, always.
And all the other dive shops, too. We try to support each other in the Keys. Dive, dive, dive.
There you go. Well, hey, she's living the life. God bless her. I mean, that is so cool.
T-shirt slogan.
Dive, dive, dive.
Eat, sleep, and dive.
There you go. Sure, absolutely. Or just You know, I don't know. Here, what would it be? It wouldn't be eat, sleep, and dive. It would be just dive and sleep. Well, I guess you got, they send food down here. No one sleeps, right? Not in this habitat. This is like an underwater.
Well, speaking on that, I'm going to go dive.
Right? You know, that's the beautiful thing. You can pop up here in the habitat, and like Diane, she's going to pop her gear on and then go cruise around the lagoon, look for manatees, seahorses, and God knows what else. This is really cool, Neil. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We're just having like an underwater party. And hanging out with the big wigs of the dive industry. It doesn't get much better than this, you know, unless you're 22 feet underwater and you can talk to everybody. You know, there's a plus and minus to that, but in this case, it's a plus. Right.
Yeah.
In this case, it's good.
I don't know how much time we have in this segment, but I'm kind of tell you how this whole trip underwater doing this show evolved.
You just kind of brought this up to me. Let's go there. Talk to me.
Like about a month ago, Jan and Slade and I went up to visit Bob Marks, or Robert Marks, a crazy man that are dear friends of ours.
Bob Marks has found more like shipwreck treasure than
Fisher as an amateur compared to Bob Marks.
Yeah.
Written hundreds of books and done thousands of articles. So I had the pleasure of going up to visit with Bob Marks just for lunch and to tell stories with Jan and Slate. And it was like one of the most memorable days I can think of. I mean, the stories driving up, the visit with Marks, the stories driving back, and then of course it seemed like a good idea to have a cigar and a couple of rum at my house when we got back and telling stories. And I was even saying, man, I wish Greg was here with his recorder, because I mean, these guys have stories that they even blow some of mine away. And I thought the next day how cool would it be to put together a scuba radio show in Jan's habitat, Jules Undersea Lodge, down in the Keys? And I called him and I said, dude, I got a crazy idea. What do you think? He says, I'm in. Put it together.
Yeah, and you put it together. And Jan, are you kind of second-guessing that decision now?
I think it was a wonderful idea.
Okay, all right. He didn't write answer. I was like,
very much.
Yes. Well, okay, fine.
I don't just come down here for just anybody, you know.
Well, I definitely. Well,
I wouldn't have come if you weren't going to be here.
You're making me blush. Quit it. But no, that is very nice of you to host us today. Yeah. But did you have as much of a positive experience as Neil did in that car ride?
We had a really nice day.
Yeah.
It was a very special day, really.
So you go way back with Bob Marks as well, it sounds like, obviously.
Off and on, yeah. Not like Neil. He and Neil have been...
I
have to be careful how to put this together, but...
It's scuba radio. Let it rip.
They've done a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, we've only scratched the surface, obviously, with...
And we don't want to scratch too much on that surface.
Yeah, yeah, there could be lawsuits and God knows what else. But yeah, they're a colorful crew. When people back in the day, they didn't know better, so they just did all this stuff and asked for permission later, right?
That's absolutely right. Neil, were you ever certified in the old days?
Oh, no. Actually, Slate has a great story. Bob Marks and I in the Keys years ago trying to get tanks filled, and some 18-year-old kid wouldn't fill. You know, he says, where's your C card? Bob says, I what? And I said, man, I think it's this new thing they have, like a license or something. And Bob says, man, you know who that? I started the dive program for the United States Marine Corps. I've done this, I've done that. And I said, you know who I am? I have the world's record for the depth and the distance record, blah, blah. And the kid says, no card, no air. Slate! Slate! Man, I got some little snotty-nosed kid here that won't fill our tanks. Put him on the phone.
Yeah.
fill this guy's tanks, you idiot.
They called me up. I was at the shop, and they said, would you talk to this guy? He won't fill our tanks because we don't have a C card. No, I said, put him on the phone. I said, guy, these guys invented diving. Just give it up. Fill the tanks. And I gave him a little rendition of who they were. And he knew me. And he goes, oh, okay, Mr. Slate.
Yeah, he's now working a desk job, I assume.
I have a similar story. That I was one of the first U.S. aquanauts in the United States.
Wow.
I mean, that was the same as an astronaut underwater. We had to go through...
Way cooler.
We had to go through the astronaut medical program. Like, you know, they took all your blood and injected you with radioactive isotopes. But I had no certification whatsoever. Nobody ever asked. anyway, I'm diving with a group that I dive with, and we're going to some island, and everybody's giving their sea cards. And where's your sea card? I don't have a sea card. What's that? So the guy's not going to fill my tank. I look behind his desk, and he has a NOAA diving manual back there. I said, take that NOAA diving manual. Open to page 3. It says, here, I'm Jan Koblik. Jan Koblik. I was the executive editor of the diving manual.
Right, so you didn't have a C card, but you had a C book.
I wrote the government manual for diving, you know, so they filled my tank.
Fill my tanks, loser. Come on. And then he felt like an idiot, as he should, right?
Yeah.
I can't get away with that stuff, but these guys can. You know, we got more great stories, including Lad from Reef. Mariah, our mermaid. We're going to talk to her some more next as well. From Jules Undersea Lodge, next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
You know, maybe I can heat up the pool a little before you dive in.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We are at Jules Undersea Lodge, literally underwater in the habitat, about 22 feet underwater right now as we speak. This is really cool. I'm hanging out with the dive god. I got Lad Atkins from Reef. I got Mariah the Mermaid. She's here as well. But, of course, we have Captain Slate, the guy known for feeding fish with his face. Now, I got to tell you, back in the day, just a little program note for you. When we started Scuba Radio over 21 years ago, I didn't know, you know, what were we going to do on this show? Obviously, we're going to talk about our dive experiences, but I remember flipping through Skin Diver magazine and seeing this guy sticking fish in his mouth and have barracuda come by and eat it out of his mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's insane. And the first person...
I promise you he is insane. I was down with him once.
This is Frazier. And he feeds the barracuda out of his mouth. The barracuda knocks the mask off his face. He puts his mask back on his face after it's flooded and almost torn off his face. Then he puts another ballyhoo in his mouth, feeds it again. It knocks it off of his face one more time. And then he puts his mask back on. He goes, wait just a minute. He gets all composed. He puts the ballyhoo in his mouth. It comes by and just takes it right out.
I mean, a third time's a charm? Is that what you were thinking there?
Well, Frazier was waving his hands. Don't do it. But that was the first time he hit me, and I thought, I'm going to win this fight. So I put it back in my mouth, and Frazier's going, no. And he knocked it off, and that's never happened. He knocked the thing off again, and I said, okay, buddy, one more time. We're going to go for this.
And I put it on film, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I got it on film, and, of course, the divers are going, something's wrong with this captain guy. And so I put the ballyhoo in, and then he took it and about three more, and I said, okay, we got you squared away, dude.
Well, you know, trial and error. And thank God he hadn't lost his face altogether doing this thing. But he's managed to pull it off. You've been doing this for how long now, Captain?
1978, I came down to the Keys and opened the shop, and there was a older guy, God bless him, Steve Clem, who was feeding fish. And he would feed ballyhoo to, you know, angelfish, and he'd have them come up and take it out of his mouth. But with the barracuda, he'd put it on a dowel rod, so like an 8-inch stick, and he'd have the smart guy. He'd have the
face protector.
Yeah, he was smart. He had the ballyhoo stuck on the end of his stick, so the cuda couldn't get to his face, or usually didn't. And so when I got out there, and he said, "You need to start doing this because I'm getting older and don't want to do it in the winter when it's cold." I said, okay, great. So I go out with him a few times and watch him do it. And I had the dowel rod. And, of course, the next time I went out to do it without him, I forgot the dowel rod. I said, oh, what the heck, I'll just put the beak of the ballyhoo in my mouth. And that's what I started doing. Of course, sometimes the barracuda wins and sometimes I do.
Yes. Well, you know, the barracuda are pretty good most of the time, but they're animals and they can misjudge distance and space and stuff every now and then, and you have a bucket full of gear to prove it, right?
Yeah, I had the worst was the psycho barracuda. He was named perfectly. He was huge, and one of the ones that Frank put on it was a cover in the magazine, and he came in and slammed me. I was feeding a second barracuda, and I didn't know he was close by, so I wasn't looking at him. So when I put the ballyhoo in my mouth, I was looking the other way. And he came from my left side and just creased my face. Fortunately, the tooth didn't hit me, but the snout did and crushed my sinus and, of course, cut the mask in half and knocked me.
What about Bruiser?
Yeah, Bruiser.
Don't forget Bruiser.
Oh, that's another story. So anyway.
Bruiser just happened to be his name.
There's a reason for that name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Harry, my instructor, grabbed me and put my mask back on, pouring blood. Of course, the mask flooded. I couldn't clear it, so he and I swam to the surface, and, of course, my mate on the boat goes, oh, you've got to get a buck. He was an Estonian guy. He goes, you've got to get a buck in the water. You've got customers. Of course, my mouth's busted. My nose is pouring blood. And my eyes are all red before he jammed it up in my face. And I said, no, I don't think I'm getting back in.
I was going to say, he just said, okay, I'll be back down in a minute. No problem. But no, yeah, you did the right thing. Got some medical help.
I couldn't even see out of one eye. So I was lucky.
Yeah. So this is basically where we're illustrating what not to do.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what makes it so much so appealing to go actually watch Captain Slate. You know, he's been through this whole process, and hey, you never know what's going to happen when you go down and watch him. You know, but the thing is, he does it. You don't. You just watch it, take pictures, that kind of thing, and let him take the risk, right?
Well, I never listened to Frazier again.
Oh, really?
We went diving, and he was filming, and the cuda didn't show up, and we have like a 350-pound Jewfish Goliath grouper, and we call him Bruiser. So he would come up and take a bait out of my hand. I mean, they're very aggressive when they come up to feed. Not otherwise, you could just sit and pet him. So Frazier's pointing to my mouth to put it in my mouth for the Jewfish to come, or the Goliath grouper, right, to come up and take it out of my mouth. Well,
took his whole mouth.
So wait, how long ago was this?
I don't know. 7-8 years.
Okay.
So I put the ballyhoo in my mouth, and I'm leaning up at Bruiser, and he just comes flying at me and grabbed my head. I had teeth marks on the top of my head and on my chin.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
He bit my whole face, pulled my mask off. Frazier was about to drown from laughing. I wasn't laughing. So he did hand me back my mask, and of course, the next few scenes in the camera, he couldn't show because I was laying him out.
Now,
that
Neil,
is so
Neil,
funny.
Neil Watson almost got eat a couple of times on my watch.
Not by a grouper, but by a shark, well, or a woman.
You know,
remember those old days, Neil?
I remember the old. I look back at some of the old TV shows we did, and I just, like, I can't even watch, thinking I should have been killed. But actually, I had a little short stint of being Captain Slate and feeding the barracudas out of my mouth. I was doing we had a barracuda named Charlie over in Walker's Cay. So we were over doing a film shoot with sharks, but we wanted to get a good picture of Charlie. So we got one really nice shot of me feeding him a ballyhoo out of my mouth, but it wasn't quite what we wanted.
You were trying to do Slate.
Yeah, I was trying to be Slate. So we had the meeting that night about what we're going to do the next day. Only Charlie wasn't there, so he was not privy to what he was supposed to do. So we get down there, and I got the ballyhoo in my BC. We get down at the shark feed, and Charlie's hanging out there. And I'm looking around, and like, the sun's not right. We need to move the crowd. And I reached in the BC pocket and pulled out this ballyhoo, not even thinking. And I got it over my head, waving everybody over to move to get the light right. And Charlie seeing me waving this ballyhoo over my head and saying, well, we've never done this before, but that's okay. It was like a streak of lightning. I never even saw it. I just looked down, and I got my little finger hanging off, and I'm thinking.
The moral of the story is, don't try to ever be like Slate.
Don't be Slate. But Slate's moral is, don't be like the dive god.
Okay, exactly. They counter each other quite well. More coming up. Stay close. The world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're underwater at Chules Undersea Lodge, hanging out with the dive god, Captain Slate, Fraser Nivens, Lad Atkins, Mermaid, Mariah. We got a fun group here at the Habitat. And Jan, who runs the operation. Chules Undersea Lodge, JUL.com is the website to go to and find out how you can get down here and experience this. You really should do it if you're a diver. We just found out that Captain Slate put his head in the mouth of a Goliath grouper and lived to tell about it. That was a new story for me, Captain Slate. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, that was a Fraser story. And Slate was dumb enough to listen to him, so I put the fish in my mouth.
Well, it's like sticking your head in a tiger's mouth kind of thing, right? You were doing one of those, Siegfried and Roy deals.
Well,
Slate's like Mikey in the cereal commercial. Dumber to stone, let him try it.
Okay, okay, all right, fair enough. But how do you feel about the whole Goliath Cooper episode that we've been monitoring the last couple weeks? You want to keep him around, I would imagine, right?
Yep, we were all involved in that. Thank God for Jimmy Abernathy and those people who went up and spoke. But a lot of people couldn't speak, but everyone got on the bandwagon, and it's wonderful that we put off any harvest of the Goliath grouper. It's been that way for 26 years, and I hope it's that way for 100.
Yes, well, let's hope. They got a reprieve, at least for now, but we got to stay on guard for that, for sure. Because, you know, we want to have those experiences with those critters. You know, most of them don't grab your head, especially if you don't if you don't have put a fish in your mouth, you're not going to have to worry about that kind of thing, I'm guessing, right?
Well, if you're not feeding them, they're very docile, and you can go up and pet them, or they'll stay away from you. They're not, all of them are very friendly, but if you go up to them, they'll let you pet them. They're not going to attack you. They don't care. But when you offer food to them, then you are a target.
They just think your head is part of the free meal.
Yeah.
The ballyhoo is just kind of like the tail of the fish.
They're really a blessing to be able to encounter Goliath groupers in the ocean, and for us to arbitrarily decide that all of a sudden it's okay for us to just take them out and kill them, you know, it's kind of a wasted thing. I mean, why do that to marine life and the creatures that live in the sea? Whenever you can go underwater, you can observe them and just enjoy them.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's why we're divers, right? Of course. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Don't like scuba people. I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay? Scuba,
scuba. I think you should give it to me.
Scuba, scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know me.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Yes, they can, especially if you're in Jules Undersea Lodge like we are today here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Slate with me. I got the Dive God. I have Jan who runs this operation. We got mermaids, God knows what else. But of course, we have Lad Atkins from Reef. He's like the big kahuna, the big cheese, the guy who runs this organization. And they do such great work when it comes to fish counts, lionfish derbies, and all that kind of thing. But he literally just got back, what, yesterday from the Philippines? Is that right, Lad?
No, Greg. Actually, I got back tomorrow from the Philippines.
That's right. That's right. They're ahead of us.
Just come on there right now.
Yeah, he went 88 miles per hour in a DeLorean, and he got here and was able to join us here at Largo. It's awesome. But what did you see in the Philippines? Let's talk about your previous trip first.
Yeah, well, it was a great trip. I was at Atlantis Resorts. They have a place in Puerto Galera and another in Dumaguete, and I was at both of those sites. And beautiful water, beautiful fish. They have a lot to see. One of the big attractions there, of course, is muck diving. And diving muck.
Yeah. I knew that was coming from somebody in this crew.
Neil, that's an M-U-C-K.
He's looking over at the other room in the habitat here, like, hey, is that where that takes place? No. Okay, yeah. See, but it is. It's like diving down in the mud or the debris field, but it's like a big sandy gooey mess down there, and critters live in that environment, right?
Yeah, it's not as gooey as you'd think. It's a volcanic island chain, so the sand is actually pretty heavy. But it's diving in that sandy bottom habitat where they have so many bizarre things, ornate ghost pipe fish, and just crazy things. Many more species of fish than we have here in the...
Is it macro, so it's a lot of small stuff, or it's a mix?
Yeah, it's mostly macro in the muck diving. But they also have some beautiful reef area as well with millions of anthias up in the water column. It's very colorful. And the true soft corals. And the coral cover there was incredible. Some of the areas had about as close to 100% coral cover as you could get.
Nice. Now, I know my buddy Marty Snyderman was over there. You said you crossed paths with his group, the Image Makers. Howard and Michelle Hall were out there. They were nice enough to ask me to go, and I couldn't make it out due to our schedule here back here in the States. But one of these days, I'm going to get out to that part of the world, because I have heard it's some of the coolest diving, whether it's the muck diving you have there right off the beach, or, I mean, they got some pretty cool shark dives out in that neck of the woods too, don't they?
Yeah, I didn't do the shark dives, but they have a thresher shark
dive
that you do in one particular area.
Isn't that the one where you got to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning because they like to get up early and all that kind of stuff?
Like I said, I didn't do that dive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You did
that
dive.
Mariah, the mermaid, you've been to that part of the world, huh?
So I did do that. It's in Malapascua, which is the northern portion of Cebu, and you do have to get up at about 3 or 4 in the morning just to see them. We were lucky enough to see 3 on one dive, which is very, very rare.
So why are they such early risers? Is it because of the time change or something? They're in the future, and can you just go back in time and say, hey, let's make it around 1 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun gets warm?
No, they are actually deep water sharks, and so they only come up for fresher air and fresher water in the very, very early morning when the sun is not yet up because of their very, very sensitive eyes, because they have very, very large eyes that are better acquainted for deep water, so the light is very important.
Okay, so you sacrifice your sleep in order to see this cool critter, but you said you save that for the next trip. Is that right, Lad?
Yeah, you always have to save something for the next trip back.
True.
But Greg, one of the neatest things that I saw were these Indo-Pacific fish, in their natural habitat. Of course, that's where lionfish are native. And I saw a few lionfish. They were, it was really neat to see them in their own area. But also a couple of other species. Lagoon triggerfish, which is also known as a Picasso triggerfish in the aquarium trade. And orange spine unicorn fish. And the reason it was so interesting to see those fish there is that just recently we have also seen those fish here in our coastal waters.
Yeah, I saw the press release a few weeks ago and you said another invasive species. I figured it was another lionfish thing. Like, no, it's a totally different animal, and the alarms are going off. Like, hey, how did it get here? Do we know or what?
Well, it's almost certainly from the aquarium trade. These are very popular fish in the aquarium trade, and as they get big and outgrow the tanks, people think they're doing the right thing, and they set their fish free. But, of course, that's how lionfish started, and we know how that story went. So we don't want to see these fish out there. The great thing is that people do report those fish when they see them, and we have an early detection rapid response team that goes out and works to collect the fish live and get them back into the aquarium setting. And for both of those fish, a unicorn fish and that trigger fish, we were able to live capture the fish, and they're at the Frost Museum now.
How about that? All right. Well, good work. I saw that. And obviously, if you want more information, you go to reef.org, and you can learn how you could be one of those people on the first line or one of those divers. Get up to speed on your fish identification and all that kind of stuff involved. Now, when you were in the Philippines, though, and you're looking at those lionfish, are you kind of observing them from the standpoint like, okay, I want to look how this lionfish acts here in its home base of operations compared to what I see in the Caribbean and all the stuff and like the lionfish derbies and stuff? Is there any kind of different behavior, too, that you've noticed over the years or what?
Well, the interesting thing is you just don't see very many of them there. They're pretty rare. So
that is bizarre, isn't it?
Well, it's their natural habitat, and everything has evolved in that habitat, and you don't see those huge numbers. But it's a highlight of a dive. It really is. When you see them there and you're able to sit there and watch them do what they do, and they do behave a little bit differently. They tend to be a little more reclusive than the ones we have here, which are so bold and out in the open. And
they have no predators. They have no reason to hide as much, and unlike in the Pacific. But then that is kind of interesting. And I would imagine the people that are used to dive in the Pacific and they come to the Caribbean and they see all these lionfish, they're like, wow, look at all the lionfish. How cool. And then they start thinking, like, wait a minute, they're not even supposed to be here in the first place.
Yeah, well, I think everybody's done a really good job of increasing awareness about the issue. So people don't come here and say, how cool.
Not anymore,
that's right. And the dive operators are doing a great job in the places where we're able to remove lionfish of keeping those numbers down. And, of course, one of the ways we do that is through lionfish derbies as well. And we have our derby series coming up.
That's right. You just had the big kickoff a few weeks ago down right here, didn't you? Wasn't the first one down here at Snappers or something like that?
Yeah, we have our winter derby that's here in the Upper Keys, and then we're going to kick off the summer series in Miami at the Frost Museum of Science in downtown Miami, and then we have a whole series throughout the state.
Okay, and that one kicks off when? At the Frost Museum, what day? When is that?
Yeah, that's World's Oceans Day, which is June 8th.
Okay, all right. What about that, Captain Slate? What?
Well, I was going to add to the lionfish issue because, as we know, in the Bahamas, in the last 10 years, they have just taken over. Of course, you got 700 islands. You've been over there with us diving them, and they've increased to such expediency that there's no way catching them. But I will give it to Reef and Ladd. He came in about 7 years ago, before they got infested here, when we were very seldom even seeing lionfish, and he started the lionfish program. We had seminars where Laddie taught us all how to catch them. And he got Noah in behind it so that we could catch them out here or eradicate them out here every time we saw them. So they never got ahead of the curve with us here. Now, they may not ever go away, but you don't see them. You know, in the Bahamas, you get in the water and there's 100 every dive.
Yeah.
Out here, I don't even see them.
You know, the popular dive sites, the divers, like you said, Ladd, have gotten more educated and know that they shouldn't be here, and the dive operators have been very proactive of calling them as much as possible when they can. So when you go to a popular site, like what, Molasses Reef down here, you won't see them that often.
Right. Because any popular site, you may see one, and we get them. We have the little spears on the boat, the little handheld spear. We go down and pop them and get them out every time we see one. So we've never been overrun by them, although they're here. You dive the deeper wrecks that aren't dove as much, you do see more.
Yeah.
But it's because of Reef and Ladd's education effort and getting us in tune and showing us how to catch them early on, so we've kept up with the curve.
Yeah, well, it's very similar to like a marine protected area for lionfish. Like the divers have kind of created these zones where the lionfish can't infiltrate, and so they're kind of like a protected ecosystem, or are keeping the lionfish from really wreaking havoc on that particular area. Is that right, Lad? What do you think?
Yeah, it is, and it's one of the great success stories of where we've had divers and government agencies and spearfishers and everybody coming together, university groups coming together to address the problem. And where the dive operators go, you're not going to find a lot of lionfish. But that's where the derbies come in, because people get out where divers don't normally go and really hammer those lionfish in the other areas, and that helps to knock the population down.
Absolutely. Hey, look, we got more coming up here underwater at Jules Undersea Lodge next.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the Top Down at Explorer Ventures liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba, 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 scuba. Scuba, 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 scuba. Scuba. Scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I've been doing a little scuba diving, but I'm hanging out in the habitat at Jules Undersea Lodge right now, underwater. So cool. Remember, next week we're going to be broadcasting from the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard in Saba and St. Kitts. For my 55th birthday, I will prove to you that I can indeed dive at 55. I got the whole song, the whole thing. You've heard it. I apologize. All right, look. You know, we talked about the lionfish and how, you know, we're trying to keep them at bay. You know, you can check out reef.org and sign up for the next lionfish derby that they sponsor. But we're also working on efforts to bring stuff back, whether it's coral reef restoration projects that they got going on down here in the Keys. Or I know Jan is also working on some stuff that involves, what, sea urchins? And you're working with Reef on that, too? Is that right?
Let's talk about coral restoration.
Yeah, okay.
Coral cannot be restored unless they have a place to be able to grab hold.
Right. Okay.
And so our coral reefs are now being covered with algae, and we're going to talk about how you get rid of the algae and clean the bedrock so that it can have coral reef adhesion.
Aha. Uh-huh. So in one of the things that, like, sea urchins do, they eat that algae. Is that right?
That's right.
And so if we got more sea urchins, maybe that'll create more opportunity for the coral to build itself or attach onto to structure to start growing on its own, which will hopefully snowball and create more, you know, structure for us.
Turn that over to Neil.
To Neil, what do you think, Neil?
No, you know, like we were talking about the lionfish when they first started talking about lionfish.
We're going to turn over to Lamb.
No, the lionfish, yeah, to this guy. You know, when I first heard lionfish were in the Bahamas, I didn't believe it. Then when I thought they were, I figured, this is the greatest thing in the world. Photographers love lionfish.
Sure.
Never think there could be a downside. And years ago, I mean, sea urchins was like not a pain in the wherever, but in the foot.
Exactly. You don't want to step on one of them things.
There was no good reason for sea urchins. And then a disease back in the 70s came along and just cleaned them out. We're thinking, this is fantastic. People can go out in bare feet and, you know, don't have to worry about it. What we didn't realize is the sea urchins clean the reef and clean the algae, and suddenly the reefs are starting to die, and we're thinking, this is a problem. And now, 20, 30 years later, they're starting to come back in certain areas. And everywhere that the sea urchins are, the coral is spectacular. It's like it was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And Lad and Jan understand this and are working on a project to resurrect
the sea urchins. Yeah. Lad, tell me about this. So the sea urchins, is this a project that's like in its infancy kind of thing? You guys are working on ways to kind of encourage sea urchin growth or environment or habitat or something, or what?
Yeah, we can't talk too much about it yet because it is still in the initial stages. But for a long time, people thought that the key controllers of algae on a reef were the big grazers like parrotfish and surgeonfish. And we're finding out now that really these sea urchins that used to be a pain in Neil's ass, literally, may be the biggest controllers of algae. And algae, of course, is competing with coral for space, and we need to reduce that algae. So we're working on some projects to help restore those sea urchin populations, and hopefully it'll enhance the quality of the corals where we do that.
Well, there you go. You know, reef is always involved in great stuff. And like I said, those lionfish derbies are a blast. And hopefully we're going to sync up for some of those this summer. And Scuba Radio is going to come out and broadcast from some of the derbies. You know, we're trying to work through that whole process, see if we can work the schedule out and all that kind of good stuff. But you have like four or five of them at least this summer, don't you, or more?
Yeah, we have more than that. We have derbies. The first one's going to be at Frost. And actually, Mariah just committed to joining us at that event for World Oceans Day, so she'll be the mermaid on site.
Okay, they won't accidentally spear her, depending on which tail she's wearing, right? Hey, that's the biggest lionfish we ever caught.
Lionfish tail. It's perfect.
If they can't tell the difference between Mariah and a lionfish, then
they need help.
Bigger problems.
Exactly. Right? They got to get a prescription dive mask or something for sure. but yeah, I mean, they're great events, a great social thing to do as well. What, are you leaving there, Frazier? What's going on?
Giving you a hug. I'm going to go into water, and I'm going to get outside the habitat. I'm going to shoot you guys with your faces plastered against the porthole.
Nice. He's going to bring a... It doesn't involve a spear gun, I hope.
Hey, I want to see...
Remember, he said faces.
Faces, not bumps. If you do that, I'll shoot it.
I'll do it. You'll get it.
Oh, God help us.
Oh, all right. God help us.
Yeah. This is radio.
I used to be called Captain Moon Man for a reason.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, it is the moon pool, right?
He's going in.
Yeah, he's going in. All right, so Frazier, the videographer, is getting set. Yeah, because we're running out of time here. We got to get out of the habitat. I don't know. How long can we stay down here? If we wanted to stay down here for an extended period of time, what's our limit? Can we stay down here for eternity, or is there like a certain...
A 100-day mission here now. next year.
Okay, yeah. All right. So you can spend a 30-year year.
Probably come down and spend a couple of days with the guy that's going to do that.
Definitely would have to add that to the list.
That would be a great show.
So, Jan, thank you so much for letting us.
This diving stuff, you know.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you saying
that. 55, I've got dive gear over you.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better. If you've seen his dive gear, I'm not so sure about that. But look, this has been a blast. Jules Undersea Lodge in Key Largo, JUL.com. Go check it out. Come out here for a few hours and just do a dive in the lagoon or stay overnight, whatever you want to do, and live like the big dive celebs you've been hearing today, or Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. Good times for sure. Well, that'll do it for this week. Remember, next week, Saba and my birthday. Till then, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.